Well, dear friends, please turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 62. Psalm 62, that which was our second scripture reading, Psalm 62, and verse 8. Psalm 62, verse 8. Trust in him at all times, ye people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. And our subject this morning is God, our refuge. Well, we turn to this wonderful psalm, Psalm 62, a psalm of David, which presents to us some wonderful things. It's a psalm that strengthens us. It speaks about God being our strength. He is our rock, that is repeated throughout this psalm. He is our defense. And because that is the case, we shall not be moved. Wonderful, tremendous words of David. This is a psalm of David, of course. King David, who wrote most of the Psalms, the majority of the Psalms, not all of them, but this is a particularly memorable Psalm of David, rejoicing in God, and his expectation is only from him. And we pray, of course, this morning, as we do every Lord's Day morning, that the Lord will bless us as he did David, bless us with a sense of God's strength, a sense of God's comfort, and that the Lord will lead even some of you to the salvation of the Lord. If there are any here, and there often are, who do not know the Lord, well, our prayer is that the things that we consider this morning will bring you to the Lord. And the words in particular that I want to focus on, well, really, they're at the very end of verse 8. God is a refuge for us. This will be a very simple message, I trust. And I don't want to overload us with applications as to how God is a refuge for us, because there are so many things I could say. But what is a refuge? You may be saying, well, God is a refuge for us. I don't even know what a refuge is. What does that word mean? What do we think of when we think of the word refuge? Well, basically, when we think of the word refuge, we think of a place of protection, a place you go to be protected, a place of safety, a place of security, perhaps, a place that one runs to, that one flees to, in time of danger, if you are being pursued by enemies, well, this is a refuge. And this is what God is to us. He is a refuge. This is repeated so many times in the scriptures, so many times even in the Psalms. You know very well the very famous words, Psalm 46 and verse 1, God is our refuge and strength. He's our refuge. And again in Psalm 94, verse 22, it is written, the Lord is my defense, and my God is the rock of my refuge. It's the same word in the Hebrew and in the English. God is our refuge. And even elsewhere, the Proverbs, Proverbs 14, verse 26, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. This is constantly repeated. And so this is something that we have to stress, and we do stress to the world around us that God is a refuge for us. Note those words, those two words at the end. God is a refuge for us, a refuge for mankind. God invites us, each one, come and find refuge in me. All of us, we always say this, there's no prejudice. There's no discrimination in the gospel call. We are all invited. Of course, there will be some people who will not take up the invitation. There will be some people, many people, who will not turn to the Lord, who will not flee to the Lord, but nevertheless, all men are still invited. We are all invited to know the Lord and to know him as our refuge. This is how God presents himself to us. I am your refuge. I am your home. You are lost. This is what the scriptures teach us about mankind. We are all lost. We are all like refugees, as it were. We know about refugees, so many refugees in this world. What is a refugee? Somebody who is lost, without a home, who is wandering. So often they need a refuge. We need to provide a refuge for them. This is like the whole of mankind. Without God, we are lost. God is that refuge. We're all seeking a home. We're all lost. We're all wandering around, not knowing our purpose, not knowing our vocation. God is a refuge for us. And so this is the invitation that is extended to each one of you. Have we accepted it? It is foolishness, to say the very least, if you turn down this invitation. God is a refuge for us, and yet you think nothing of it. Well, this is a great tragedy. But let us consider, just in the brief time before us now, what does it actually mean to make God our refuge? What does it mean to have God as our refuge? And I have just a number of points here, but I trust this will be a comfort and a blessing to you. Well, God is a refuge of peace. Very simply, first of all, God is a refuge of peace. Of course he is. There is no fear in God. There is so much fear in the world. Wherever you look in the world, there is something to be afraid of. And the culture in which we live in particularly seems to want us to be afraid. It seems, in a sense, to govern us by fear. Make the people afraid, and then it'll be easier for you to govern them and to control them. Fear. This society, it seems, almost depends on fear for its influence and for its power. But God is the opposite. You seek refuge in God, there is peace. Do not be afraid. And I so often say this, but I will always say this. The most repeated phrase in the scriptures, do not be afraid. It's the opposite to the world. The world says you have to be afraid. Be afraid of this. What's going to happen if this happens? The economy, the climate, everything else, so many other things we have to be afraid of. God is your refuge. Do not be afraid. Let not your heart be troubled. That's if you make God your refuge, there is no fear. He is a refuge of peace. He's a refuge for us, of course, in the tribulations of life, in the storms of life. Again, this is how we could apply that word refuge. If you are caught in a storm, in a rainstorm, in a thunderstorm, a hailstorm, or anything like that, well, what do? You seek refuge. You don't just expose yourself to the elements. I have to find shelter. I have to find a refuge. Well, in the storms of life, God is our refuge. Every life, every single human life, there are storms in our lives. And I'm not talking about weather, of course not. I'm talking about those difficulties that come into our lives. Every life has them. The crises, the sadnesses, the disappointments, the bereavements. So many hard things happen in life to all of us. The older we get, the more we see it. Where are you going to go for refuge? We must go to the Lord. We have to go to the Lord. It's only the Lord who can truly help us. It's only the Lord who can strengthen us. It's only the Lord who knows what you are going through. Do you know this? I repeat this very often. The Lord knows you better than anybody else, better than your husband, your wife, your children. God knows you better than anybody else. He knew you before anybody else. He knew you in the womb, before your parents knew you. God knew you. And God, well, we read in Psalm 139, even when you were in the womb, God knew exactly what would happen in your life. He can see everything. He knows everything. Every single event in your life, God knows what is going to happen to you. He knows everything, your feelings, your thoughts. And so why do you not go to him? God is your refuge. You know, sometimes there are places of refuge, they're full of strangers. You have places of refuge for, say, vulnerable women, vulnerable young people. They go to these refuges, they're full of strangers. We don't know anyone in this place of refuge. When you make God your refuge, he knows you. He knows who you are. He knows you better than you know yourself. Why not make God your refuge, dear friends? He is calling you to know his love and to know his blessing. And well, these words, they express that. Pour out your heart before him. This speaks of that personal relationship that we are to have with the Lord. Do we have that personal relationship? The Lord Jesus Christ was constantly urging people to know the Lord. Don't just be outward in your religion. Don't just be a churchgoer. Don't just turn up on the Lord's day and then have nothing else to do with the Lord. He ought to be your greatest friend. Pour out your heart to him, just as you would your best friend, because the Lord knows you better than your best friend, better than anybody else. We have this need for a personal relationship with the Lord. Pour out your hearts before him. God is a refuge for us. You see, he knows you. He knows you better than anybody. And well, he is that refuge for you. So dear friends, if there is anybody here struggling with difficult things, and some of you have difficult things to bear at this moment, God is a refuge for us. Don't hide from God. That will only make things worse. You run to God because he's the only one who can truly help you. God is a refuge for us. But God, well, he's a refuge of peace. He's a holy refuge. A holy refuge. Again, so unlike the world. The world is so unholy. The world is so wicked. We see sin all around us. We see the deceit of men all around us, the selfishness of men all around us, the corruption. We turn on the news every day and all we hear is more news of wickedness and sin, violence, war, murder, man's inhumanity to man. This world is so unholy. Where can we escape? It's God. God is our refuge. And again, so many people, they don't go to the Lord. They actually go to things that make them worse. You know, when I was younger, when I was unsaved, there were many people like myself, they couldn't cope with the way the world was. The older you get, again, I repeat this, when you're young, you don't realize this. The older you get, you see that the world is a terrible place and people are unkind, and then you can't cope with it. And what do people do? Where are their refuge? They go to drink. Can't cope with the world. I need to drink. I need to get drunk. Or I need to go to drugs. This is my refuge. The world is terrible. I'm going to take drugs or video games or whatever it is online. These online addictions. These are all places of refuge because people can't cope anymore. Dear friends, this only makes you worse. It only corrupts your soul in a far greater way. The only holy refuge you can go to is God. God will not harm your soul. God won't make things worse. He is a holy refuge. You go to the Word of God, the holy Word of God. You know, the Word of God is the only thing on earth that is uncorrupted. Everything else on earth is corrupt, corrupted by the hand of man, except the Word of God, inspired by God, preserved by God, from God. This is not the word of men. It's the Word of God. Something that is holy, truly holy, cannot come from man because man is tainted. It has to come from God. This Bible, we take it for granted. It's the only clean thing on earth. It's the only pure thing on earth. And so this is why we say God is our refuge, a holy refuge. We must flee to him to escape the sin of the world. And well, God's word is truth. It's truth, dear friends. You know, when I was preparing this message, I was reminded of the enemy of God. Who is the enemy of God? Well, you know all about this. I'm not going to speak at length. Satan. There is God, of course. There is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us very clearly that there is an enemy of souls, Satan. And do you know that Satan himself has a refuge? Satan, he has provided a refuge for every unbeliever. We read in the Bible that it's called a refuge of lies. A refuge of lies. So you have God is our refuge, but Satan has set up an alternative. It's a refuge of lies. And people run to that. This refuge of lies telling us there is no God. Don't worry about God. You can just live how you want, be how you want. There are no consequences at all. You don't have to worry about all of these things. This is what Satan has set up, an alternative refuge, a refuge of lies. But God teaches us the truth. His word is truth. Dear friends, I have to ask very simply, which refuge are you turning to? Are you turning to the refuge of lies? It's so much easier, isn't it? Not to believe in God. There is no God. Everything that the church preaches, everything that the pastor preaches is all wrong. This is a refuge of lies. God tells us the truth. God teaches us about what truth really is. God, of course, makes known that he is true. And even our very consciences teach us this. Dear friends, every single one of us has a conscience. And the conscience, it doesn't just teach us what is right, what is wrong. It teaches us what is true, what is false. And so, in a sense, every single one of us know that God is true. But do you run to a refuge of lies? Run to the Lord Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Dear friends, that is what he said. And this brings me to my next point. Do you know the truth about yourself? Do you know the truth about yourself? I've mentioned the world and how sinful it is, but do you know the truth about yourself, about your own sin? Because you see, this refuge, God is a refuge for us. Let me put it to you in this way. This refuge is just for sinners. This refuge is just for criminals to flee to. You know very well the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. If you want to enter into this refuge, you cannot come with your own righteousness, thinking that you are a good person, thinking to yourself, well, I'm not really bad at all. God will be pleased with me. God is pleased with me. I think I'm a great person. If you go up and you seek refuge, you will be denied by God. God does not give refuge to such as them. Who does God give refuge to? God gives refuge to those who see the sin in themselves. They're not lying to themselves. They see the truth. They see all the times that they have been selfish, all the times that they have been greedy, all the times that they have hated, had anger in their hearts, all the times they've had lust. They know all of these things. And they say to themselves, I don't deserve a refuge. I don't deserve to go to heaven. I deserve punishment for my sin. I deserve to go to the other place. I deserve to be in hell. And when we have that attitude, that humility, then the door is open to us. That's who God will welcome in to his refuge. Take refuge in me. It's the humble. It's the contrite. You see, this refuge, again, if I can put it this way, It has a door of mercy. Of mercy. God takes pity upon us. He has mercy on us. When we go to him, when we humble ourselves, he has mercy. It's not a door of merit. It's not a door that we deserve to enter into. We don't earn our way into that refuge, into that blessed refuge. God has to have mercy upon us. It's a door of mercy that is open because of God's loving kindness. That's the refuge of God. God is a refuge for us. Unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, says David in this very psalm. This is how we come to the Lord, poor, needy, acknowledging our sinful state. And we must do this, dear friends. We must enter in, because this is the only refuge from the judgment to come. It's the only refuge from the judgment to come, from the wrath to come. And we mentioned this last week, the wrath to come, the day of judgment. How do you see the day of judgment? Well, the day of judgment, of course, is a real day. Just as surely as Christ came the first time, he will come the second time. In fact, his first coming guarantees his second coming. And well, you may not believe it, but there were plenty of people who didn't believe he would come the first time, and he came. But he will come the second time, and every eye shall see it. And it will be a day of justice. A day of justice. You know, people always ask me, if there is a God, why is God allowing all these bad things to happen in the world? Where is he when there are wars and when there are murders? Why is God not doing anything about it? Well, my answer is always, one day he will do something about it. There is coming a day of judgment, a day of justice, and every wrong that has happened in the world, in the history of the world, will be made right. God will bring a day of judgment and justice. But I have to add this to whoever asks it. Are you ready for that day? You yourself. Because yes, God is going to deal with the world, but he's going to deal with you. Every wrong that you have committed in your life needs to be dealt with, needs to be punished. And dear friends, the only refuge, the only hiding place is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the refuge that God has provided. Without Christ, we have to meet God one day. We will have to take the punishment for our sin, but this is why Christ came. Christ came to be our refuge, to take the punishment for us, to stand in our place, to stand condemned. Lord, Father, I love my people. I love all those who believe in me. I will die for them. I will be condemned for sins that they have committed. I will die. I will suffer. Dear friends, you have to have faith in him. He must be your refuge. There is no other hiding place. There is no other savior. Search all the other religions. Is there another place of refuge? All the other religions, they just say, well, you're on your own. It's up to you to be good enough. And dear friends, the truth is, we'll never be good enough. Don't believe in the lie. This is another lie of Satan. You can be good enough for God. Believe in the truth. There is none righteous. We must all flee to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our hiding place. On the day of judgment, we point to him. He took the punishment for my sin. So there is no punishment for me. There is no condemnation for all who are in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So dear friends, remember that he's a refuge for sinners. And Christ is the savior for sinners. But my last point, and I'll be very brief with this, God is our refuge. He's an eternal refuge. He's an eternal refuge. Now, we all have our dwelling places, our homes that we go to when we leave this place. And some of you have lived in your homes for many years, many decades. But dear friends, wherever you live now, there will be one day when you'll be moved out. You'll be moved out of your home, out of your refuge. Make no mistake about that, whether you're living or whether you die, you will be moved out of that refuge. But when you make God your refuge, you will never be moved out. It's a permanent place. It's an eternal place. You'll never be moved out. And this place will never be knocked down. How many places of refuge around London have been knocked down? God, of course, will never be toppled. God will never be moved. You can never be moved because God will never be moved. But it's only if you make your refuge in Him, never to be moved again, everlasting life, a life of peace and joy that never ends in eternal places. Life is so much more than these 70 odd years and then the grave. Life is everlasting, but you must make God your refuge. You must turn to Him. Dear friends, this is what it means for God to be our refuge. He's a refuge of peace. He's a refuge of holiness, a holy refuge. He's a refuge for sinners. Come and confess your sin before the Lord, and it is an eternal refuge. He is an eternal refuge. And may I add this, just in closing, He is in fact the only refuge. There is no other refuge, no other refuge that truly is a refuge, a place of true protection and true security forever. There is no other refuge except God. And God is a refuge for us. He calls each and every one of us to know Him and to know that security and that protection forevermore. Dear friends, why would you not go to Him? Why would you not have faith in Him? Go to your home, your temporary refuge, even this day, and pray to the Lord. Lord, I want to change my refuge. I want the living God to be my dwelling place forever. And He will hear you, and He will bless. Well, may the Lord bless these words of grace to us.